join me live from my couch.
Dan Bernstein here. Join me live from my home.
It's Danny Parkins, and yes, I am working from home like many of you.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, we are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Breaking Bulls news. The Bulls hire a new GM, Mark Eversley, to work under Arturas Karnišovas.
KC Johnson.
Somebody has a great line. There's been more popes since the Bulls GM since Jerry Reinsdorf took over.
Arturas Karnišovas.
I always hire people that are going to complement my skill set. I would like critical thinkers, you know, have different opinions.
Keep it right here on 670 The Score for the entire story. Official radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
Breaking news on The Score is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Conference Podcast Series, launching May 1st on Radio.com.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
Dan Bernstein.
Sucking the joy out of sports.
Middays on The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And man, is there anything going on to talk about today? Wow. John Greenberg, the founding editor-in-chief and columnist of The Athletic Chicago, is going to join us at 9:40. He probably had the most informational contribution to the John McDonough firing discussion. Look forward to fleshing that out with him at 9:40. Then Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times Bulls beat on the new Bulls general manager at 10. We'll do the midday midway at 10:40. I need your help. I desperately, desperately need your help at 10:40 because I'm completely at my wit's end. I've turned, there's something going on here in my home that has turned into nothing short of complete British farce. It's like an episode of Fawlty Towers every day here, and I need your help. Mark Lazarus of The Athletic is going to talk sort of the hockey side of the news of the John McDonough ouster at 11 o'clock today. We're going to get the inside story on a new Chicago Bear. Chris Camerani, who covers Utah football for The Athletic, will tell us all about Jalen Johnson and some surprises along the way as well on a very busy, packed-up show. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You can email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com. Send a text to the text zone. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Twitter is at Bernstein670. You can follow me at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app. You can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer and, as you know, a Blackhawks expert and podcaster who is going to be helping us out with this major Blackhawks news today. Ray Diaz, the executioner, is the man on the board doing what he does. So I saw this yesterday and was surprised when the news crossed that John McDonough had been fired as president CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks. And man, first and foremost, there's a lot going on here. There are a lot of forces at work here. And all I know is that over time, as these things go, over time, we're going to learn more about some of these specifics as to how this all went down. John McDonough for years, and I've known John for years, because he is, let's call him what he is, one of the most significant sports executives in this city's history, without question. You've got George Halas, you've got Theo Epstein, and John McDonough doing what he did to help turn the Cubs into the phenomenon that they were even before they were winning. And then for his 13 years with the Blackhawks, how that timed up with where they were, his place in history is undebatable. If you know him, especially from my position, having been a member of the media, he knows how to develop relationships with the media. And he can be chummy and he's a really skilled politician when it comes to how he handles the media. When he knows that when he has the score guys in the booth for a game, and you walk in and everybody, there's a jersey there with everybody's got a jersey with their name on it, and then he brings Stan Mikita around and Tony Esposito or whoever, like, there's he knows how to do this stuff. He knows how to say, hey, you know, bring, this is your son's first game. Oh, well, here is a framed photo of your son at his first game. You can hang in his bedroom. I mean, stuff like that. Guy spares no expense when it comes to taking care of people that way. And you can talk to him, and he'll give you insider stuff and say, you know, email me if you ever really want to talk off the record. So I've always personally had a really good relationship with John McDonough and like him. However, I also know for a fact how difficult he can be to work for. He can be I guess, demanding boss, can put it lightly, that he can make people in the office and has made people in that office nervous, unhappy, and uncomfortable with his management style. And I know that that's part of what you get, and the Blackhawks knew that that's part of what you get. Even in the good times, even when they're winning Stanley Cups, even when it's nothing but a parade in the street and Chelsea Dagger and Dustin Byfuglien t-shirts at the front of every Walgreens and pop-up stores on street corners selling Blackhawks merchandise, even when the party's on, it can be and has been a demanding and difficult workplace where people, the phrase that I've heard from people who have worked for John is, you always feel like you're walking on eggshells. People are always worried, and there's a culture that can be cold and unfriendly. And that existed in his sales and marketing area with the Cubs when he worked there, and it also existed with the Blackhawks. It doesn't mean he wasn't really good at his job for a long time. It was the way that he went about doing his business. So I talked to some people who explained to me that while this seemed sudden, the move itself, when it happens, it always seems sudden. But the situation had been building, and there will be people in the organization who are pleased that he's gone. The workplace culture issue had reached a point that apparently just needed to be addressed. Yet still, it's also true that people didn't necessarily see it finally coming. What John Greenberg wrote about that I found interesting was the role of Danny Wirtz, who's now going to be interim president, the 43-year-old son of Rocky Wirtz. When he appears in something like this, it's not a stretch to see that there could be a level of power struggle that takes place here. I don't think we need to overcomplicate things to envision what can happen in a workplace when you have the owner's son who begins to take a larger role in the operation, and how you have alpha male personalities who are going to clash. That may exacerbate some of the habits, and may exacerbate some of the personality traits that are then visited upon the lower levels of the organization as it all plays out, and adding to some of the nervousness. And this is not even really to get into the hockey side of it yet. We're going to do that when we talk to Mark Lazarus at 11 and find out what else could be in the offing here, what else could be going on. This is above and beyond whether or not they've overpaid Brent Seabrook or allowed some of their star players to sort of wither on the vine here. There is a time and a place to talk about that. But when they had the opportunity to look some of this over, and I don't know what effect the coronavirus pandemic and pushing the pause button has had. I don't know what effect the culture change of the Bulls has had on Rocky Wirtz in his deliberations and his having a lot of this time to breathe. Even as, and there was a note, and I got, well, when we talked to John at 9:40, we'll ask him this, but he had a note in his piece that the Blackhawks were required to wear suits when working from home? If that, I didn't know if that was just him hyperbolizing or not, but because he mentioned that it was a, he liked to joke about stuff like that, but I don't know if that was a joke or not, because I would, that would be sort of a, above and beyond, but you wonder, is, would it go that far? 312-644-6767 is the number. I'd love to find out what you think about this major story of a very significant Chicago sports executive. This guy invented the fan convention. And now that is not only, it wasn't just, you know, the Cubs found this cute little way to bring people together in the winter and creating inventory out of nothing to market a product. It wasn't even that much of a product other than sort of the being together themselves and the nostalgia and the mawkishness that became the product itself. And now that is standard for most sports teams, to have an off-season gathering of some kind to market themselves. And you could say that maybe that would have happened eventually. When I've mentioned McDonough's role with the Blackhawks too, there are some who push back and say, wait a second here, Bernstein. Anybody taking over that ass-backwards team would have done the same thing, given an opportunity to start writing checks and spending all this money and doubling and tripling the size of the offices and just doing everything like a modern business, because somebody walked, oh, put the games on television? Oh, that's brilliant. Rehire Pat Foley, a beloved play-by-play guy and TV ambassador for the team? Brilliant that it would have happened anyway. The speed with which it all happened, it was at a breakneck pace that coincided with some of Dale Talon's draft picks being pretty good. And he was able to ride that wave. But he understood, and John and I had conversations, even as we're standing in this filled arena that he had absolutely pin-lit to perfection. Boy, there was a... When the smallest things, when you would watch a game with John, and that he notices everything. If there was one of the ice scraping team out of position or improperly dressed, the smallest thing, he'd go down and get right in that person's face. If they didn't turn on the air conditioning duct to flutter the American flag at exactly the time Jim Corneliuson says banner yet wave, their flag was still there, and points to it. The choreography of everything absolutely had to be perfect. And, you know, I'm remembering the story. I should tell the story, too. Years ago, John McDonough and I belonged to the same health club in Chicago. And there's a TV on. And they were showing, it was the White Sox game was on. It was before they redid Comiskey. It was the new Comiskey, but it was before they had you know, redone it and changed it all to make it a little more inviting and comfortable. And they showed the outfield. And McDonough goes, God, I can't stand that. And I said, what? And he goes, those garbage cans. And I said, what do you mean? He said, look in the area by the bullpen. Wait till they show the outfield again. And he was so conscious of every visual. And he said, you look out there and there's that well. There's a moat in between where the seats end and the wall begins. And you get this subconscious separation as a fan that they're pushing you away. He said, and then there's a garbage can sitting there. Nobody should, if you're watching on your television, you don't need to see that when they show. You don't need to see a garbage can sitting there. It's just, he says, it's bad optics. It's a bad look. And when you would go sit with him at a Hawks game, he would always be noting every single thing that went on and would always have something to say in strongly, forcefully, if something was off. And it was that eye for detail, and it was that concern for the smallest things that made him really good at a lot of what he did. You know, the stories of Blackhawks players, I want to say their suits had to be certain colors and couldn't be flashy, or couldn't be, some color schemes were off limits. When after a game, needing to have a Blackhawks logo or needing to have a hat of a certain kind, he was fastidious about making sure the players are represented in that way. I think
a story, there's a story from early on when Marian Hossa came here. Marian effing Hossa, that's his official middle name, one of the baddest ass hockey players ever, was caught with an interview and didn't have a hat on, and he literally stopped the media, went and found a hat, put it on, and resumed the interview. That's the sort of power and influence John McDonagh had over the team and over the players, and you've been sort of detailing it here, but even a guy like Marian Hossa, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, he's a multi-time Stanley Cup champion, one of the most respected guys to ever play the game, had that thought after a game, like, oh my God, I got to put a hat on or I'm going to get in trouble or I'm going to hear about it. That's all you need to know about the way McDonagh ran things.
Yeah, and there were, believe me, when they dealt with issues, and they were myriad throughout, and well-detailed throughout the Stanley Cup period, when I would ask people, you know, what's going on with this, what are you hearing about this, I always heard that McDonagh would go in, and when he said in the locker room, no one is going to talk about this, this, or this, no one's going to say a word about this, this, or this, that the implied consequences were such that if it was on lockdown, it was on lockdown.
Yeah, and players have not talked really at all lately. I mean, when's the last time you heard Jonathan Toews on the air on The Score or Patrick Kane or Duncan Keith or any of those guys? I think a lot of those guys over the years have become afraid to talk publicly in fear of saying the wrong thing in the wrong way or pausing at the wrong time or whatever, or maybe speaking your mind about something they're not happy about. You know, you've seen a lot of hesitation from the players to talk, and you've also seen not a lot of access given by the Blackhawks lately. Everything we did guest-wise with the Blackhawks had to be cleared through the Blackhawks. Even if it was as simple as talking to Eddie Olczyk or Steve Conroy, everything had to be cleared through the Blackhawks, and that, to me, is John McDonagh's influence of wanting to control the message, wanting to know who's talking when and where. He, like you said, Dan, he had every detail down, and he knew everything that was happening all the time. And you have to imagine being a player or an employee in that sort of atmosphere, that has to weigh on you. That, I mean, you get the point, you get the big picture idea of what's trying to be accomplished, but that constant feeling of the term you use, walking on eggshells, that's not a good place to be. That's not a good work environment. Even if it's for the greater good, you're going to have unhappy employees from top to bottom.
Yeah, and that's not my phrase. That was a phrase that was used by someone who has been in those hallways and says every day people come in and there was this grim feeling of what's next, of who's going to get the next tirade or who's going to, what sort of petty fights are going to be fought today. You know, John Greenberg, who's going to join us at 9:40, made the comparison of sort of like a classic red-ass college basketball coach, like a bullying college basketball coach, or like J.K. Simmons' drum teacher in Whiplash, you know, that kind of thing, where undeniably good at what he does, but he just does it in such a way that people around him have to be made unhappy or uncomfortable for it to work. And it's just, it's weird for me because, again, you know, I always have gotten along well with him. And he's always when he's, you know, flashing his political smile and doing what he does, you know, taking care of people, he's been open and interesting and professional, but it's a different situation when people have worked in those offices. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I want to know what you think as well. When we come back, I want you to hear from Blackhawks owner Rocky Wirtz. He was on the Blackhawks Talk podcast a month ago, just a little over a month ago. This is back on March 17th, and he sort of gave a state of the team commentary that doesn't sound like it saw this coming. So you'll hear from him in his own words next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
We'll be right back. This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute. Today, we bookend our Two for Tuesday by combining a historical sports anniversary with a salute to National Poetry Reading Day. On this date, 59 years ago, Braves Hall of Fame southpaw Warren Spahn belatedly celebrated his 40th birthday 9 days earlier by no-hitting the Giants 1-0. At the time, Cy Young was the only pitcher older than him to hurl a no-hitter. But the 363-game winner and Purple Heart recipient later noted, "It's not so much my pitching people know, but that little poem about me and Johnny Sane." In November 1948, Boston Herald sports editor Gerald Hearn famously wrote, "First we'll use Spahn, then we'll use Sane. Then an off day followed by rain. Back will come Spahn, followed by Sane, and followed, we hope, by 2 days of rain." I'm Boomer Esiason.
Hi, let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doctor's log, hell date 2020. It's 7 a.m. I just ended my shift in the emergency room and now I am headed out. I grew up watching Star Trek reruns as a kid, and in the intro to Star Trek, they have this description of their mission, which is to go where no man has gone before. Right now, health and medical industries are on that kind of mission. And it really feels like my colleagues and I are embarking on this new journey as we stand on the front lines of the COVID crisis. We keep saying to each other, we've never done this before. We've never seen anything like this on this scale before. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. So I'm starting my own captain's log. I'll be documenting my personal experiences and thoughts as this pandemic unfolds around us. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The 10 years has kind of moved at a snail's pace because we've had so many changes, and it's been very, very rewarding. It's been, you know, very enriching 10 years. Obviously, the Blackhawks have come back to relevance. We have a long way to go, but it's been a wonderful decade.
That's John McDonough, who was fired by the Chicago Blackhawks yesterday. That's with George Offman in February of 2018, talking about his 10-year anniversary with the Blackhawks. And, you know, John was always a good friend of the Boers and Bernstein show as well. He was with us our 15th anniversary. He came and joined us to celebrate with us. He's been very friendly to this station for a long, long time. And he's known how to do things. He knew how to polish up what the Blackhawks were and was at the top of their masthead as they achieved their greatest success. But eventually things come apart, as they did here. The timing is what's fascinating to me, because even as we understand that these forces had been in play for some time, and that this uncomfortable workplace had been an issue even when they were riding high, that it still seemed like the center could hold. It still seemed like everything would remain together until it just wasn't. So here's Rocky Wirtz. This is March 17th on the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Rocky Wirtz asked about where the Hawks are relative to Stanley Cup contention.
You look at everything. I mean, you're looking at salaries, you're looking at free agents, you're looking at signing college players, free agents in Europe. The nice thing is John McDonough and his crew and Stan Bowman, we have a good, in my humble opinion, we have a good organization. They will figure it out. On my epitaph and on my tombstone with my kids, it's going to be, and I promise you, it's going to be on there. So you go to Ivanhoe Cemetery after I die, you're going to say, just figure it out. I promise you, it's going to be the day I was born, the day I died, and just figure it out. They will figure it out. I promise you.
Well, they are going to be different people when he says they will figure it out. And he also had assured, I think The Athletic reported back on March 19th, that the entire leadership troika would be back in McDonough and Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colliton. And Rocky Wirtz was on record saying that they would be. Something forced something. And this is what we'll learn probably over time, as to how this all went down and what triggered this move when it was made. I mean, there's all sorts of perfectly reasonable speculation here regarding the pandemic. Isn't there irony if, in fact, they still had workplace issues with no workplace? Think about that. And there is a texter here who insists that their friend that worked in marketing has been asked to wear a suit and tie for Zoom meetings, and that has been mandatory for them. Another texter from 773 mentions when Danny Wirtz first replaced Rocky as head of Wirtz Beverage, one of the first things he did was change the dress code from suit and tie to business casual. I think that's sort of inexorably crept into everything. I know that there are even major international law firms that were slow to warm up to that. We're having people just have to keep a suit in their office in case they had to change into one for a meeting, depending on the client. But the rule was always we dress like our clients dress, because that's sort of what the comfort level would be. The Danny Wirtz thing, I'm going to have to learn more about, and I'm going to have to ask more about, because it's so easy and so reductive to think that it's that simple. That the 43-year-old son of the owner is increasing in power, and then this battle was fought passive-aggressively throughout the office. I'm sure that's part of it, and I'm sure that the a global pandemic that shuts down sports doesn't do anything to remove any tensions whatsoever. And if there are already tensions that exist, there are a lot of people who are, those tensions end up sublimated in all sorts of different directions. But it's just amazing that there could still be, think about this, still be essentially a virtual workplace that had the same discomforts as the actual offices, as the actual workplace. It's absolutely amazing. This segment is brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care is open to help solve your vehicle repair needs with up to 12 months interest-free payments if cash is tight. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO. That's Amco, AAMCO Transmissions, and a whole lot more. You know, I don't know enough about the dollars and cents of Blackhawks business to know where the actual numbers are in this either, because there's no way we can divorce what's going on the ice or in the offices from how the company is doing. We know that because of the other Wirtz businesses and how intertwined they can be, that there are ways to show profit, loss for tax purposes, etc. And also the value of the Blackhawks franchise, the actual equity of the franchise that has been increasing is not something that is necessarily reflected, obviously, in your operating income, profit loss statements, etc. But the Blackhawks were not turning a profit. And I don't know if the expectation is going to be that they would. Because short of having a national television deal for the American NHL teams, that is just a pie in the sky dream to have these teams run at a profit. Because as I understand it, only the Canadian teams that have a chunk of their Hockey Night in Canada deal, their CBC deal, they're the only ones that are actually making money. Not to mention what the currency issues between the U.S. dollar and the Canadian dollar have done to affect the salary cap. But I'm not sure if there is an expectation on the part of the Wirtzes that the Blackhawks are going to be a profitable enterprise, because what McDonough did when he came in 13 years ago was just start spending money hand over fist because he had to. And they created a very high standard. When you got stuff for them, you can tell in the little things. You know, you can always tell in the quality of the card stock of their Christmas cards that they would send the media. The fact that they would drop off their promotional items in a bag with your name on it. Little things. And this is, you love it about McDonough, because he knew this stuff. Everything was really high-end, high-quality stuff. And that cost a ton of money. There's nothing that's going to change as far as the cap goes and the expenditures for players, which is obviously the largest expense the team has. But if there's an expectation, if Danny Wirtz is telling his dad that he thinks that this thing can make money, the only way they could do that, my guess, would be on the cost-cutting side. I don't know where revenue generation is going to come from lacking the television, like an NBA-level television deal. Or MLB type television deal, the idea of a marquee network kind of arrangement where you're owning the product and selling the product yourself if you're doing it that way. So that to me, business wise, and I don't want to, I'm not any kind of great businessman. I don't want to get over my skis trying to speculate on what that would be. But man, that's going to be that would be a heavy lift if you think you're going to have this franchise, even with this branding, returning to profitability of some kind. And there's all sorts of speculation. You're saying the White Sox should hire John McDonough, the Bears should hire John McDonough. I don't think so. I don't think any team is rushing to hire him at this point. And hell, the White Sox were, I mean, they were on the upswing by themselves doing everything as they were. I don't think so. And the Bears don't really need marketing. They're an NFL team. They're the Bears. All they have to do is win a couple games and everybody's going to go jumping up and down. Will Perdue was talking about it yesterday. He said, this is a guy who was winning championships with the Bulls, and they're like, yeah, well, Bears. The owns this town, they will always own the town. So I would not start, you know, clamoring if you're another Chicago team. I even saw speculation on the text line that somebody wanted him to come take over DePaul. Okay, yeah, right. 312-644-6767 if you have thoughts about an all-time Chicago executive being shown the door under what can really only be described as somewhat murky circumstances, even though we know what was building, even though we have known all the, there's been no secrets here as to how they've gotten where they've gotten or what had been going on in the offices and some of the tensions involved over all this time. But eventually, Rocky Wirtz changed his mind. You heard him. You heard him say they will get it done. He was trusting them to get it done. And then all of a sudden he didn't. There is a note here via Twitter from Coach Tom who says, according to Forbes, the Blackhawks are the fourth most valuable NHL franchise with a value of $925 million, which is a 12% increase from last year at $825 million. Forbes revealed that the Blackhawks generated $182 million in revenue and had an operating income of $44.8 million. Well, that doesn't obviously assess the cost side, and we had known that they had made it clear that they had been operating at a loss and were working to get to even, but people roll their eyes and say, well, it doesn't necessarily show what's true because of the arena, the liquor business, and I'm not saying there's anything illegal or unethical going on, but they have a way to show what they want to show you. And he also adds, if the Blackhawks were told now to go through a rebuild, John would not be that guy. Yeah, I don't know how involved he had been in any hockey stuff, because he was very clear when he took the job, where he said, I'm not a hockey guy, and that's why we have hockey people here. And Stan Bowman, when you think about it, personality-wise, he was the perfect GM who was methodical and smart, but not necessarily an alpha-type personality, not one of these stomping former players who was used to getting his way or having to be the guy in charge. Maybe that relationship worked out nicely and symbiotically. I think this sums it up well, too. John McDonough, strong external relations, poor internal relations. And as I'm told, there are people who are listening closely to this at the moment here, listening to Sports Radio 670, who maybe work in that office and are telling me right now that there will be people who will feel a weight has been lifted off their shoulders. I don't think it's too hard to understand. There was a lot going on here that ultimately just wasn't sustainable, and maybe it was the downtime. Maybe it was reassessing. Maybe it's watching what the Bulls are doing. And we're going to get into that, too. Joe Cowley is going to be joining us at 10 o'clock because with everything we hear about the new Bulls general manager, I get more and more excited about his hire, about Arturas Karnišovas, and about the new culture that the Bulls want to begin building here. I think that the coaching pick might be becoming a little more clear over time here. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with John Greenberg, editor-in-chief of The Athletic Chicago. He wrote the most involved, detailed piece about the circumstances regarding the firing of John McDonough, and we'll talk to him all about it. So don't go anywhere. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to two on The Score.
Am I the only one who sees a lot of Joe Maddon in Phil Jackson? Seeing him understand how to manage both Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman when the two couldn't be more different, but their lives completely different approach.
Lawrence Holmes noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
The Chicago Window Guy is open during these difficult times to handle all your window and door needs. Make the call that I did. call Russ Armstrong. He's the owner of Chicago Window Guys. They make and install all their own products, and they offer a lifetime warranty on all parts and labor. I had a bunch of windows done. I could not be happier with the windows. I couldn't be happier with the process. And Russ realizes it's a tough time, so he's offering virtual appointments. You can do it over the internet or over the phone. So call the Chicago Window Guys today at 847-881-3060. The first 10 callers who mention my name, Dan, get 10% off the order. 847-881-3060. And check out his reviews at chicagowindowguy.com.
If you need a new appliance now, the Home Depot has the appliance help you can count on. Download the Home Depot app or visit homedepot.com to search for savings on top brands like LG. With ratings and reviews to give you confidence, special buy savings, and free delivery, you'll get the appliances you need without even leaving home. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Continental U.S. only.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com and try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I'm wondering if being named president of the Blackhawks for you was perhaps as stunning as being named president of the Cubs?
It might have been more stunning because I had never anticipated leaving the Cubs. Mm-hmm. It was a great offer from Rocky Wirtz, and he called the Cubs and granted permission, and we were able to do this, but it was wonderful, fond memories of the Cubs for 24 years. But this was a new opportunity, a new way, a new day, and just a different mountain to climb.
That was John McDonough with George Hoffman in 2018, talking about his 10-year anniversary with the team. But no more, as he was let go yesterday. And probably the best piece of writing done about this complex story was done by this man, John Greenberg, who can be found on Twitter at John_Greenberg. He is the editor-in-chief of The Athletic Chicago, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So I was trying to make sense of your line about the requirement of Blackhawks staffers to be in suit and tie when working from home. And you said you like to joke about it, but you're not joking. It turns out that's actually true, John. I was, even for John McDonough, I was kind of amazed that he would hold them to that standard in these times.
Wait, are you serious? That's really true?
Apparently so.
It was a joke. I was kidding. I just made that up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we had a couple texters here. A couple texters weighed in and said, a couple people that work in the marketing department said there is a suit jacket tie required for Zoom meetings.
You know, I actually, when I was writing that as a joke, I did think that had a kernel of possibility. But I was like, at least, you know, maybe he's making them wear 3/4 zips, right? The 3/4 zip sweater and the shirt underneath. But it doesn't surprise. I mean, it's funny, but it doesn't surprise me. And that's like, you know, there's always two sides to argue this. There's some people, the old school, that say, no, that's how you should be. You're in business. You dress for your job. And other people saying like, all right, let's show out a little bit. This isn't the White House. This is just an NHL team.
Should we have seen this coming? I mean, when we actually look at it, and all of us have heard the stories, all of us, and I think your comparison to an old school hard ass basketball coach, at some point there's a shelf life, and at some point people around just don't want that anymore.
Well, I don't know if we should have saw it coming in terms of, I guess if we knew more about the inner machinations of the Blackhawks, which I don't think a lot of us are truly paying attention to when it comes to business, you know, not hockey. But, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen just because I thought he still had the trust of Rocky Wirtz. You know, that's the only person who matters. It's not a democracy. You know, if people could have voted under him, could have voted John McDonough out, I think he would have been in some trouble with the popular vote amongst the team. But, you know, I didn't think Rocky was going to pull that trigger. And I thought it would be kind of like, for McDonough to leave, it would almost be like how Paxson left. You know, Paxson told us the only way I'm leaving is if I fire myself. And supposedly that's what happened. So I thought that would be the same thing. McDonough just retires, you know, he becomes his own ambassador, if you will. I didn't know that there was supposedly this tension with Danny Wirtz, his son, who was taking in more of a role with the organization, you know, since they merged the liquor businesses. And from what I heard, there was some real tension there. And that, when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense. You know, that's where if I would have known that, then, yeah, I would have said, OK, I could see this happening soon. And I guess this gave them the kind of opportunity to do it.
This was like a new season of The Sopranos or something, where all of a sudden a new uncle is introduced to the story. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, like there's a new character, and I'm like, oh, Danny Wirtz. Let me introduce myself to this 43 years old, and here he's just right in the middle of this, sort of plopped down. What do we know about this brand new character this season?
Steve Buscemi as Danny Wirtz. From what I've heard, I remember his name coming up because he was kind of listed as the person in charge of Banner Collective, their video operations department that also did a lot of work with the Cubs. You know, they were doing a lot of the heavy lifting for Cubs video, especially when they got on the board with the video board. But I heard he really didn't have a ton to do with that because he was working in the liquor business as well. It's just kind of his name was on the shingle. And then that ended and he came back in and supposedly he's the owner's son, comes in with some new ideas. He wants, this is the family business. You know, we're seeing that with the Bulls as well with Michael Reinsdorf, although, you know, it's a little bit of different personalities from what I've heard. And, you know, Danny's put, you know, if you look at my story, something that's interesting, I wish I would have picked up on this 2 years ago. They fired Ogilvy, you know, of all people, Ogilvy Chicago, the people that did the one goal campaign, best advertising, one of the best advertising agencies in the world. And they put their advertising in a very small shop that is where Danny Wirtz is a partner called Verrier, I think it's pronounced. And that's really interesting. And I heard that was a point of dissension between the two. You know, I think I'm sure McDonough wanted the stable, solid Ogilvy who knows how to do these big campaigns, and Danny wanted to go a different way. And I heard that was a point of argument, you know, and I don't think a lot of people win arguments with the owner's kid. You know, I haven't been in a lot of business situations, but that's just my gut feeling. What do you think, Dan?
I always found we were saying it's a bit ironic if, in fact, there was workplace tension that was even continuing to simmer when nobody's actually in the workplace, what that says about the culture that has been created. And I guess as we're watching what the Bulls are doing, and I think you alluded to this in your piece, that we don't know how this downtime, this actually pushing pause on the hockey or pushing pause on the basketball and seeing what can happen as quickly as it did, whether or not that actually had any effect, because something had to happen, because all the sound that we've been playing of Rocky Wirtz 5 weeks ago saying they, and saying that those that the top three people in power would be back, to have them just not back, we can't downplay how significantly our world has changed, in that it has to have an effect, right?
Absolutely. And I wonder if the Bulls thing kind of gave them the idea to do it now. They're like, hey, look, the Bulls did it. They use this time wisely. I mean, we know the word. We know Rocky Wirtz looks to Jerry Reinsdorf for ideas and for support. I know that for a fact. He looks at Jerry. Jerry's the senior partner now of their very, very profitable relationship. And I wonder if that's, he's just like, well, you know what? If we're going to do this, let's just do it now. And I'm sure with nothing to do, imagine John McDonough with nothing to do. That does not sound like, you know, that would be good. And you've got the son who wants to make his own imprint on the business, supposedly. And I think they're probably saying, like, hey, if we're going to find someone to replace him, do what the Bulls did now, where there's time and you can interview pretty much anyone. You know, and I don't know if Danny's going to take over. You know, people are speculating that he's going to run part of it, even though he's interim now, and then they're going to hire a hockey guy, or maybe they hire a bunch more people to kind of fill the space. But I do think you're right, Dan. I think this time has given people the opportunity to make big changes. What's that old saying? The Rahm Emanuel saying, he liked to say, never waste a good crisis. So that could be it.
How much can an American-based NHL team really do, though? Because the business is so stacked against them. I mean, obviously, right. they're still worth a ton. But without that TV deal, you know, without having what the Canadian teams have, and with having these giant salaries that they're paying these players, how much can really be done to grow the business positively, because it's such an uphill battle for American NHL teams to run, to even break even?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, Rocky Wirtz is famous for saying they don't turn a profit. Now, obviously, he's not probably including all the liquor he sells for Blackhawks games, you know, he's probably not even including all the United Center profits, because that's hugely profitable. But you're right, because they don't have the TV deal, and that's been the killer for the NHL ever since they backed out of their ESPN deal, because they were so offended at being on ESPN2, one of the all-time blunders for them. So McDonough, one thing you can say about him, he has wrung every last dollar out of this franchise. I mean, they can't really raise ticket prices anymore. They're super expensive. You know, there's people dropping. They claim to still have a waiting list. You know, everything's about as expensive as it can be. I mean, they've sold a lot of sweaters. You know, I agree with you. I don't know how much more money there is with this team. And maybe that's part of their thing, too, is like, hey, what do we need McDonough for anymore? You know, and this attitude. You know, I think they're probably, you know, Palace intrigue aside, you know, they needed him at the time, because that was just a terrible franchise. They didn't know what they were doing. They were so backward, beyond backward. I mean, it was crazy. They needed someone, I think, they probably needed a jerk to come in and just, you know, tell people this is how it's going to be. If you don't like it, leave. But I don't think they probably need that anymore. And I think you're right. I think they just have to – now they just need – their biggest thing now is they got to get the hockey back on track, or else they're going to start losing customers. They're going to start losing season ticket holders if they don't get competitive hockey in that building again.
It's one thing that I've noticed over this period of time, and any of us that have had this period of time coincide with any exposure to youth hockey, seeing this glut of kids who decided hockey's cool, I want to play, and places that had maybe two Mite teams and two Squirt teams, then had four Mite teams and four Squirt teams. And by the end, just, you know, anecdotally, by the end of our run in the youth hockey world, those programs were back down. You know, that blob sort of made its way through the python and really wasn't sustainable. It just, I didn't know how fragile some of that fandom was among the casual fan, and just how hard it is to sustain casual hockey fandom when Chelsea Dagger's not blaring in our ears all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, 100%. Like, it's always been tough for hockey, just because not every kid's going to play. And like you said, there was a glut where kids decided it was cool. I think my son, you know, we live in Deerfield. I think he's got maybe two friends that play. You know, of all the athletic kids that he's around, there's just, it's tough. It's an, you know, it's an expensive sport. It's a time consuming sport, and it requires, you know, a certain set of skills, certain kinds of athleticism. It's just not open to everyone like basketball and baseball and football are. And I think that did show, like, what an amazing run it was for the Blackhawks. I mean, listen, I don't know a damn thing about hockey, and I was I used to cover a lot of games. Like, I used to go to regular season games to write columns, you know? So that just shows. And now, when's the last time columnists like me or Morrissey or whoever show up at games? You know, it's almost never. It's a niche sport. You know, we're lucky at The Athletic that we started with hockey early from the very moment we launched with Scott Powers, and then we added Lazarus, and then we added hockey writers all over the world, that we've really kind of grabbed onto that niche, and we've given those people some real information because we've seen there's a huge audience for it. It's just not the same for the casual. Like, if you're running a website that just relies on clicks, you're not going to focus on hockey.
We're talking with John Greenberg here on Sports Radio 670 WSCR. The Score, Dan Bernstein with you. I was thinking of this, too. And when you said they've sold a lot of sweaters, I'm wondering, they're clearly not on the right side of history when it comes to the Indian head logo. And we know at some point, it's just not going to be okay. And I know that they've gone out of their way to say, you know, it's the World War I artillery regiment, but it's still a native's cartoon face on their shirt, which at some point you think of it like, you know, kind of not cool. We've seen all sorts of specs for actually having a Black Hawk. There have been all sorts of ideas to do something a little bit different and a little more palatable. Maybe we're getting closer to the time to do it, and that is sort of a hidden marketing opportunity if they want to sell more stuff.
Yeah, you know, I wrote about this a number of years ago, maybe 2014 or 2015. I wrote about this story, and I talked to an activist who really changed my perspective on it, because yeah, you hear the defenders, oh no, it's honoring, you know, Chief Blackhawk, it's the World War One, whatever. But this guy told me, he gave me the thing I think about the most. He goes, you know, every time I go to a game, I see thousands of my dead ancestors' faces, you know, floating around. And to be honest, I don't really buy my son any Blackhawk stuff. And I know people are going to argue with that and disagree and whatever. Your opinion's your opinion. It doesn't, you know, it's fine with me. But that's how I feel. I'm not super comfortable with the logo anymore. And I do think they should switch to an actual hawk. I have no faith that would actually do it because the fan base would go ballistic. Absolutely go ballistic. It's not the Indian. It's not the Cleveland Indian, the leering Native American, which is awful. It's not the Redskin, which is terrible. You know, it's a little lesser. We can say that. But that doesn't make it right. It's still appropriation. I don't think it'll happen because the fan base would go nuts. But I do think they could at least add an alternate logo of an actual bird. So I agree with you there.
Before we let you go, we're going to be talking to Joe Colley in just a bit regarding the Bulls general managerial hire. I'm so impressed with this guy. I am with everything I read about Mark Eversley, about how quickly this culture can change. It really sounds like first blush for that that they got a real good one of this guy. You agree?
Yeah. I just read and I edited Darnell Mayberry's story this morning about it. I suppose he's just a great guy. He listens. He's a hard worker. He's very detail oriented, but he has real conversations. He's, you know, everyone in sports wants to use the word collaborative now, right? Because everyone wants a piece of the credit. So supposedly, though, he is real. He's a real collaborator. He talks to his scouts. He believes in certain things. You know, coming up from Nike is huge because he's got relationships with players. He knows how to talk to players. He knows how to get guys to trust them, and he's trustworthy. You know, and I think those are things that the new GM needs to do. And I think even just with like the atmosphere inside the team, forget about attracting new talent. I think the atmosphere inside the team is going to improve just with this new blood. And I think players are going to find that he's a guy they can relate to and he's a guy that's going to be very likable. And I think this sounds like it's a slam dunk hire. And, you know, I ripped them for minority hiring practices, you know, with the Karnisovas. And they obviously listened because they went and they wanted to focus on someone. But I don't think it's about numbers. I think it's about changing the viewpoints you have in your organization and getting people with different points of view based on their life experiences. And, you know, it seems like they've done that, you know, with the two guys they've hired. So I see it sounds like a great hire. Now they just need to get lucky in the lottery, you know, and hopefully they could pull off a trade with a disgruntled star at some point. And that's what will really turn this thing around.
John, always good to talk. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
That is John Berg, editor of The Athletic Chicago. Let's talk some Bulls with the always opinionated Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. The Bulls have their top brain trust in place. Their executive vice president of basketball operations, Arturis Karnachovas, and now he has hired the very well-regarded Mark Eversley as their general manager. We will talk that and more and maybe figure out who the next coach is going to be. Joe Cowley next on The Score.
When you think Chicago sports, think Mully and Hall. Chicago's most listened to sports morning show, hands down. They cover all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the most historic moments in Chicago sports. Trust Mully and Hall to start your day. Mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
We're all doing more cooking now, so you want to grill some steaks as the way.